that winter has come.
Welcome to the hottest podcast, 16s and Things, blending sports and hip-hop with your favorite host, Ms. 100. So turn up the volume and let's get into it.
What's good, y'all? Welcome back to another episode of the 16s and Things, the podcast. This is episode 44. I'm recording on this great sunny afternoon on St. Patty's Day, y'all. So I hope everybody had a great week. I'm going to jump right into this, yo. The hip-hop community lost rapper Boss earlier this week. She was the first female rapper signed to Def Jam West, hailing from out of Detroit, Michigan. She released her debut album, Born Gangsters, in 1993, which was her only album released. I would like to send my condolences to her family. The Philadelphia Eagles GM Howie did some serious cooking with this year's free agency. He signed some damn good players. They acquired C.J. Gardner-Johnson, Saquon Barkley, Bryce Huff, Devin White, and Devontae Parker. Listen, let me say this. I like the fact that Howie signed three outstanding defensive players for the positions that they were in need of. It was a huge acquisition to get those three defensive players because it's not looking good on the defensive side of things. I like the fact that he got some, you know, he got a wide receiver, he got a running back, which the biggest acquisition they made is signing Saquon. Before I go even further, I gotta say this to all of those Giants fans. Y'all can go eat a serious dick, yo. Seriously, yep, just like that. Y'all didn't even appreciate Saquon, and y'all already talking shit. You know what I'm saying? Y'all already talking shit because now the Eagles have Saquon, and they're going to use Saquon to the best of his abilities. I just know it. Anyway, I'm looking forward to him being healthy and the Eagles' offense just being unstoppable. So the Giants, listen, y'all going to go 0-2 against us this year, like last season. And on top of that, with Saquon on the field, it's just going to open up that passing game so nicely. I could see Hurts putting up crazy numbers this year as far as with the passing. And what I really want to see from the Eagles, the new offensive coordinator, Kellen Moore, I know he's not known for, utilizing the running back as far as running, but, yo, he's going to have to utilize Saquon with his running ability, plus use him out of the backfield. And this season, I'm sorry, I don't want to see Jalen. No more quarterback sneaks for Jalen. Yo, that shit is done. I don't want to see that. Fuck the quarterback sneaks. Unless it's the tush push, John. You know what I'm saying? And the play action shit. You know what I'm saying? The play action, John, from out of the shotgun. But other than that, I don't want to see those fucking spreading the wide receivers out and then him just doing a quarterback sneak up the middle. No. We don't need no more of that shit.
Clap your hands, everybody, if you got what it takes. Because I'm Curtis Blow, and I want you to know that these are the breaks.
Breaks in a bus, breaks on the car. Breaks to make you a superstar. Breaks to win. So I was scrolling on Instagram like we all do, and I came across this. It was a really dope video. It was an old video of Dr. J and Kareem Abdul-Jabbar playing one-on-one in front of an audience. And it looked like it was something for charity. And this definitely took place when they were retired. And, you know, I was just thinking, like, it got my mind thinking, like, yo, I would love for the NBA to create some one-on-one games for fun. And I know the fans would love it. Like, make that part of the NBA All-Star Weekend or something like that. Get a little bit more creative with that All-Star Weekend thing, because right now the NBA is really becoming a dead product. It really is. I'm being totally honest with that. And I wouldn't want to see retired players doing it, though. I want to see the players that are the, you know, the stars. I want to see the stars go up against each other. You know what I'm saying? Players like, you know, Luka. You know, imagine if Luka did a one-on-one matchup versus Tatum, or Anthony Edwards, Ant-Man, versus Ja Morant, Curry versus Dame, or Durant versus LeBron. I think if Ant-Man went up against Morant, I think he would win. That's my opinion. I think he will win. Plus, it would be that matchup would be very entertaining. I could see KD beating LeBron in that one-on-one matchup. But yeah, let me know what y'all think. Who would y'all like to see on a one-on-one matchup? That would be really dope for the NBA, just to liven things up, because things have became very like corny. You know what I'm saying? Really corny. But on to my next topic. The Chicago Bears, they sent Justin Fields to the Pittsburgh Steelers. Yes, the Chicago Bears sent their young stud to become a motherfucking backup, yo. A fucking backup. Because the Steelers already have Russell Wilson. In my opinion, this was a terrible decision by the Bears. I don't like that they lost their patience for the development of Justin Fields. They never gave him a good offensive line or a good running back. Just last season, they did get him a outstanding wide receiver by signing DJ Moore, who, by the way, put up his best numbers in his first season with the Bears, with 96 receptions, 1,364 yards, and 8 TDs, with Justin being the quarterback. Like, yo, crazy numbers, yo. I mean, nigga was out there running for his life, though. Ain't had no offensive line. And now in this offseason, they acquired more offensive weapons with the signing of 6-time Pro Bowler wide receiver Keenan Allen, running back DeAndre Swift, and tight end Gerald Everett. By keeping Fields as their quarterback, it's no doubt we would have seen a much better outcome this season. The man basically, like I said, was running for his life with no weapons, or, well, one weapon. I do like the tight end that they had, too. Well, they still got him. Komet is his name. He's pretty good. He's like one of the up and coming top tight ends in the league. So the Bears, they've really fell for the hype of, you know, USC quarterback Caleb Williams. They signed all these offensive players because, you know, they drafting him. A rookie quarterback who has no idea what it will be like to have grown men coming at him to knock his fucking head off. Like, it's no guarantee Caleb will come into the NFL as this bona fide stud. You know, I wasn't even impressed with his performance in college. Like, the hype is just not what it is. I just don't see it. I'm not saying that he was phony in college, but listen, from someone who watched a lot of college football, you know, you could see the ones. Like, I remember seeing Peyton Manning in college. You know, Peyton Manning did 4 years, and he was that dude. I seen Peyton Manning being that bona fide stud that I'm talking about in the NFL, but I just don't see it. You know, do I think Caleb will be the CJ Stroud of next season? No. And how will be, you know, how will he be able to handle the pressure of being a starting rookie quarterback? And that's just a lot to ask of a young man, you know, because especially somebody like, I just don't see it like the hype, you know. I feel like the Bears, they knew what they had with Justin Fields, and he was only getting better. But with taking a rookie quarterback, it's too many unknowns involved. I think as an organization, they failed already by making that decision.
Yo, the saga begins. Begin war. I'll draw first blood, be the first to set it off. My cause, tap all jaws, lay down laws. We take it with jaws.
Is hip-hop overrated? Yes. Yes. And my opinion, I think it's very overrated. And here's why. Number one, the talent factor doesn't even exist anymore in hip hop. There was a time when if you didn't have the talent, no one would even invest time, money, or energy in that person. But nowadays, someone can go viral on social media for doing nothing tied to hip hop. And next thing you know, they become a rapper. Look at the Cardi B effect. Yes, I call it the Cardi B effect. A stripper and social media influencer who became famous and decided to rap. People became infatuated with her persona she created. So once she started putting out music, her fans loved it. She didn't have talent as a rapper, but she had the fame. The fame is what propelled her rap career. Since the non-talented rappers became aware of the music industry and you know, that they not looking for talent no more, they just start looking for people with the biggest gimmicks to go viral and having that huge following, that's all that matters. So in turn, hip-hop became diluted and oversaturated. There are more one-hit wonders than ever now because of the lack of talent. You know, you look at rappers like Kendrick Lamar and J. Cole, who actually came into the game with real talent. Their music will always sell and stay around because they actually have generational talent. I feel like once the commercial corporations got involved with hip hop, that helped dilute the product even more. As well, at the same time, it did help a lot of artists become rich and get endorsement deals, which is a good thing because it helped them and their families. So I'm not knocking that. When hip hop first became popular, it was said it would just be a fad and it would die out in a couple of years. Same thing they said about disco music. You know what I'm saying? Disco was a very popular genre right before hip hop started hitting. You know what I mean? Listen, yo, just do y'all history on that part. But I find myself as a hip hop fan, you know, only listening to the classics or my favorite newer rappers that actually have talent. So in closing, the talent will always exceed over the rest and have a lasting impact in hip hop.
Yeah. Here's a tune about this honey named Renee that I met one day on my way back from John Jay. I'm peeping shorty as she's walking to the train. I tap her on the shoulder.
With this week's classic album, I brought it back to my hometown of Philly. Original Stylin' by Three Times Dope, released in 1989. Some of y'all might not even heard of the group Three Times Dope, which consisted of EST, the rapper, Woody Wood, the DJ, and Chuck Nice as the producer. They were also a part of a legendary crew, Hilltop Hustlers, who had Steady B, Cool C, The Youngsters, DJ Tag Money, and some others, you know, that I ain't even gonna mention. But the album Original Styling is 10 songs deep. The single Funky Dividends was getting heavy radio play back then. The video also was getting heavy play. It was a song about gold digging women, and it was dope. It was a dope song because it had a dope message that resonated throughout the hood back then. You know, in the 80s, this came out in the late 80s and transitioning to the early 90s. It was a lot of D-boys that was out back then. You know, they was getting it. So, of course, with the dope boys comes the gold digging women. You know, if you was around, you knew what I'm talking about. You know what I'm talking about around them times. But yeah, EST, he had a great pen game with a good vocal tone and a flow that's unmatched. You know, he has one of them styles where when you hear him, you know it's him. Like, he sounds like no other. My favorite songs on the album are Greatest Man Alive, you know, lyrics like Fly Like a Falcon, Strong Like a Stallion, That All I Need Is a Gold Medallion. If you know that song, you know those bars. Other songs I fuck with is Once More, You Hear the Dope Stuff, Straight Up, and the title track, Original Styling. This album is just one of those albums full of quotable bars. If you didn't listen, yo, just go listen to that shit now. Like, it's streaming on all streaming platforms. And also, another thing that you might not know, EST went on to write songs and win Grammys by collaborating with Beyonce on some songs and with Destiny Child. So, man, salute the Three Times Dope. They are Philly hip hop legends. Thanks for listening, y'all. Another episode is wrapped up. Make sure y'all go follow the podcast on Instagram Follow the podcast on Instagram at 16s and Things Pod, and you can follow me on Instagram at Ms100. Thanks for listening, y'all. Peace.
Landscaping, mentally shaping. Get the gist, don't miss what I'm saying. Hilltop ringing in the bass drop. Soaking up steps like a household mop out to rock.